Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, 2009.
A reading from the Book of Exodus. When Moses came to the people and related all the words and ordinances of the Lord, they all answered with one voice, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." Moses then wrote down all the words of the Lord, and rising early the next day, he erected at the foot of the mountain an altar and 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then, having sent certain young men of the Israelites to offer holocausts and sacrifice young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord, Moses took half of the blood and put it in large bowls. The other half he splashed on the altar. Taking the Book of the Covenant, he read it aloud to the people, who answered, "All that the Lord has said, we will heed and do." Then he took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words of his." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
To you I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people.
I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come to be, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not belonging to this creation, he entered once for all into the sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled so that their flesh is cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason he is mediator of a new covenant. Since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I am here today with Dawn.
Just normal Dawn, not any other type of Dawn. But congratulations, Father Brian, Father Carpenter. Very strange.
Yes, I know. I'm still getting used to saying that. You know, it's funny because all weekend long, for those who are new to the podcast or aren't listening or don't have any idea what we're talking about, well, I guess they'd be listening, but don't have any idea what we're talking about, I was just ordained a priest this past weekend, and I'm still very much adjusting to my role as a priest. One of the things, I have an uncle who's a priest, and when we were taking pictures right after the ordination, our photographer would try to get me centered or something. He's like, Father, you need to move to your left. And I keep sitting here saying, like, why won't my uncle move? And then I realized, oh, wait, he's talking to me.
Wait.
So, so it's still an adjustment, but it's definitely been wonderful to celebrate Mass the last couple of days and everything. I'm getting less and less nervous, but still not anywhere near unnervous when I say it.
I can't imagine all that preparation, and the day is finally here, and you probably feel like, I don't know anything how to do this, yes. Even though you've been training and you've been learning.
Yep. Yep. I was my first Mass, I'm sitting here, and all through the introductory rites, I'm sitting here, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then finally, after the readings, everything, I had enough time to kind of calm myself, collect myself, and say, no, I can do this. I can do this.
It was probably the way I read that second reading.
It just was. That's actually right what it was. Ease. That's what it was.
I thought so.
That's
yes.
What it was. That's around the time it was that second reading. But anyway, we're celebrating a feast today called the Body and Blood of, or the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. And of course, that's what we celebrate every Mass. So you might be saying, well, why do we have this special feast
good
or something
point,
like
yes.
that? And I think it's just to give some emphasis. Certainly, we do celebrate that every Mass, and it is kind of important in our tradition, Dawn. You might have gathered that. And it is something that we do celebrate over and over again in our church, but we highlight it on this day just to give it even more attention so we can kind of remind ourselves of the importance of this teaching. It's kind of a way of, sometimes when we do things, we take things for granted after a while. So it's kind of a way of putting that emphasis there and saying, let's remember not to take this for granted. This is really important, what we're doing, and really special.
You know, actually, one of the songs that we sang at your ordination, and then another song that I Am the Bread of Life, probably everybody knows that. I got to thinking when I was hearing it, the other song at your ordination and this one about the verse that says, let's see, unless you eat of the flesh of man and drink of his blood. You know, whenever we sing that verse, it's like, ooh, these words are so raw. Couldn't we skip this verse? But I know it's central to what we do. But I'm wondering, Brian, how would I, if someone came up to me and said, you know, you sound pretty strange when you're saying these words. What do you really mean? How should I reply to that?
Well, I think one thing is we mean what we say. We're eating the body and blood, the flesh and the blood of Christ. So that's one thing. Now, and then, of course, you need to explain it so we don't get accused of cannibalism or just being disgusting people or anything like that. And this comes from actually the Gospel of John, and I believe, I'm not certain off the top of my head, I think it's John 6, but it's in a section of John called the Bread of Life Discourse. And so the words from that song are pretty much straight from the Gospel. Mm-hmm. And what happens is Jesus tells them that, you know, you must eat of my flesh and my blood. And then a lot of people actually turn away from Christ at that point. They think he's kind of gone off the deep end. And he emphasizes that again. He says, no, you must eat. I'm not talking symbolically like I was when I talked about I am the vine, you are the branches or something like that. He says it again. He says, and then he says, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. And I think that's also one of the things where we can say, when you talk about the cannibalism aspect, is that while it is the body, the real flesh and the real blood of Christ, he's given it to us under what we say the accidents. It's a philosophical term, meaning the properties or something of bread and wine. So it's a little less disgusting that way, rather than if it were under the accidents of our own human flesh and our own human blood, where then people might say it's a little more disgusting. But Christ does say it actually is my body and blood. And we do believe that in the church, that it has been what we call, there's a philosophical distinction. So we're going to do a little philosophy here on our podcast.
Nice.
Between something called substances and accidents. And the substance is what the thing is, what something is. So, you know, your substance would be Dawn, or and my substance would be Brian. And then the accidents are properties that can change. They're not essential to who we are, but they are part of who we are. So, Dawn, you've got brown hair, but if you dyed your hair blonde, you'd still be Dawn. Or if you, you know, lost all your hair, God forbid, you'd still be Dawn. You know, when my hair goes gray, I'm still going to be Brian. If I get taller or shorter, I'm still going to be Brian. If, you know, I'm in an accident and lose a finger or something like that, even though that finger is part of who I am, I'm still me without that. So it's kind of an accident is what we call that. Or like the, you know, skin color, eye color, all those types of things are accidents. And so we say the substance changes in, that we call it transubstantiation. So the substance of the bread and the wine changes so that what it is no longer bread and wine. But the accidents, the properties of bread and wine remain, we say. So it tastes like bread. If you put it under a microscope, it'll look like bread. If you consume too much of the precious blood, you will get drunk like you would, like you would with any other alcohol. If you're allergic to bread, people who have celiac disease, you will react to the accidents of the bread there. But what it is no longer bread. It is the body of Christ. And what it is no longer wine. It is the blood of Christ.
I like the way you put that.
So it's the difference between what it is and what it appears to be. And you see this theme, I mean, you see it in literature all the time, the difference between, you know, reality versus perception kind of thing. So it's there, it's a theme that's runs constant, and sometimes we see things one way, but that's not really what it is.
So now that you're a priest and you're standing up there and you're saying the words of institution, which we hear in today's readings, is it you that is changing the substance, right? That's the right word I wanted. Is it you that's changing that, or how is it being changed?
No, it is not. It is the Holy Spirit that does that, and the priest prays for that. The priest has been given the gift to call the Holy Spirit, and the priest also, there's some terms. Actually, let's define a couple of terms, because you talked about words of institution. Oh. So we'll say that the words of institution are just the words where Jesus, we say, instituted or started the sacrament of the Eucharist. So that's the, this is my body, and the this is my blood part of the Mass. You'll hear that. And it's not the priest who does it. It's not like a power given to the priest in and of himself or properly. It's a power of the Holy Spirit. And what we say is that the priest, though, has the ability to act in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. And when he's presiding at the Eucharist, there are times when he's acting of his, of himself, and times when he's acting in the person of Christ. And when he's saying the words of institution, he is acting in the person of Christ. So it is Christ, it is God, who is bringing about that change. And he's using the priest as the instrument through which he's acting. But it's not the priest of his own doing. And in when the priest, for example, in the Mass at the homily, the priest is acting in his own person, not in the person of Christ. Sometimes, you know, one of the things that's neat with Masses with bishops is you can tell when they're acting from what role they're acting because they have hats that they wear. And as long as the bishop is wearing one of his hats, he's acting either in his authoritative position. But for the words of institution, his little the beanie that he wears, that's called the zucchetto, he takes that off because that's a symbol that he's no longer acting of his own office. Right. He's not acting as, you know, for us it would be Bishop Clark or, you know, whoever your bishop would be, but he's acting in the person of Christ. It's harder to tell with priests because we don't have any real visual cue so that somebody knows when they're acting in their office or when they're acting as a fallible priest would act or when they're acting as in persona Christi, in which case they are acting as Christ, so they are infallible in that moment. So when you consecrate the Eucharist, it is infallible, that is, so it will happen at that point.
Well, we could help everybody and go to Burger King and get a whole bunch of crowns for all the priests in our diocese.
Yes.
And then when they take their crowns off, we'll know, oh, this is the point, so we're...
Yes. And Dawn is saying that because right now I'm wearing a Burger King crown that was given to me by Dawn and a few members of our youth group. So she's kind of teasing me here, which unfortunately we don't have a visual podcast, so you can't see that.
You would just be laughing the whole time, trust me. I'm sitting across the desk.
But anyway, Dawn, I can see we're coming to the end of our podcast here, but hopefully we've given some people an appreciation of the Eucharist, appreciation of how we can say we're not cannibals, because Christ does tell us that this is our real food and real drink. And, you know, hopefully they've learned something about, you know, the words of institution and some other things, and will want to join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.